Chapter 17. The six of them ran to the door, their fists thudding hollowly on the solid wood.
Hello?
Help! Let us out!
After several minutes, it became obvious they were wasting their energy, so they stopped yelling and banging. Lexi collapsed with her back against the door.
We need a plan, she said.
Don't you have one?
Nance asked.
No, I thought you might have one.
No.
I know.
Ida reached in her purse.
We'll use our cell phones to call for help.
She pulled out her phone and pressed a few buttons, then held it to her ear. After a few seconds, her brow creased. She shook the phone and put it back to her ear. A few more seconds, and her brow creased even further.
What the heck?
She pulled the phone away and looked at it.
Darn, no signal.
She walked to the corner of the room.
Maybe over here.
It's no use, Ruth said. We're underground. The cell phone tower signals don't come in down here.
Lexi puffed out her cheeks, her heart sinking, as she felt the cold water seeping under the door and soaking her shoes.
Well, we better hurry and come up with a plan then.
She pointed to the floor. The water is already rising.
Yeah. You people better come up with a plan.
Carolee glared at them with her hands fisted on her hips.
Who are you to demand a plan?
Nance asked.
A few minutes ago, you were going to shoot us.
Well, I wasn't going to do the actual shooting.
Carolee looked repentant.
My brother was.
Still, I don't think we'll be including you in our plan, Lexi said.
Why not?
Carolee whined. We're in this together now.
Lexi's brows mashed together. She couldn't believe the nerve of the woman. She took two large strides, getting right in Carolee's face.
Let's get this straight. Lexi spat out the words. We are not, and never will be, in anything together.
Carolee straightened her spine and glared down at Lexi.
Don't be a sore loser, just because my bakery did better than yours, she said, poking Lexi in the breastbone with her index finger.
The anger that had been simmering inside Lexi bubbled over.
You're nothing but a scammer. I bet you never baked even one thing in your life.
Lexi pushed Carolee's shoulder. The other woman stumbled backward, crashing into the wall with the force of Lexi's anger, causing a large chunk of concrete to come loose from the top of the wall. Lexi watched in horror as the chunk tumbled down, bonking Carolee on the head. Carolee's face registered an instant of surprise right before her eyes rolled back in their sockets and she crumpled to the floor. Ida clapped her hands.
Yay, Lexi! You got rid of her!
Lexi looked down at Carolee, her stomach twisting with anxiety. If by getting rid of her, Ida meant she'd killed her, she certainly hoped not. It was true she didn't like Carolee, but her dislike wasn't enough to go to jail for her death. Nan squatted beside Carolee and picked up her wrist, feeling for a pulse.
She's not dead, is she?
Lexi asked hopefully.
No, Nan said, standing and brushing off her pants. Just knocked out.
Lexi breathed a sigh of relief.
Good. I mean, I know I pushed her kind of hard, maybe too hard, but I don't want to go to jail for murder.
I wouldn't say you pushed her too hard, Ruth said.
I'd say you pushed her just right.
Huh?
Lexi turned to see Ruth pointing at where the concrete had come loose. Behind it, there should have been more concrete or dirt. But instead, Lexi saw a hollow darkness, indicating a space behind the wall.
Is that what I think it is?
Nance asked.
It looks like a space, Ruth answered.
Maybe another room,
Ida said.
Or another tunnel and a way out, Lexi suggested.
The ladies reached into their purses and dug out their Swiss Army knives and nail files, then shoved Kara Lee's unconscious body out of the way and got to work on the concrete. When the hole was big enough to look through, Nans jumped up on the empty cart that had been left in the room and shoved her flashlight into the dark hole. It's more tunnels! She hopped back down, and the ladies attacked the wall with renewed vigor. Lexi spotted a thick board in the corner and helped hasten the pace by using it to bang on the wall, thus causing more cracks in the old concrete. After almost an hour of furious work, the hole was big enough for them to walk through. Let's go. Ida grabbed her purse and scurried through the hole.
What about her?
Nans pointed to Kara Lee.
Let's just leave her, Ruth said. She was going to shoot us and leave us here.
Nans gave Ruth the look.
We can't just leave her. The water is rising and she'll drown. We'll have to take her with us. How are we going to do that?
Ida's brows knit together.
Carry her?
Nans sighed and looked around, her eyes coming to rest on the empty cart.
We'll wheel her on the cart, Nans said. Helen, get out your duct tape. We'll tie her up and tape her to the cart. That way she can't cause trouble when she wakes up, and we'll be able to deliver her to the police.
That's a great idea, Helen said, digging in her purse. We'll have solved the mystery of the skull, recovered the money stolen in the bank robbery, and be handing over a criminal.
That should get us a write-up in the Police Gazette for sure,
Ruth said as the ladies got busy securing Kara Lee's wrists and ankles before loading her onto the cart. Okay, now help me get this cart out into the tunnel. Lexi lifted one end of the cart. Ruth and Helen lifted the other, and they climbed over the pile of crumbled concrete, lowering the cart to the ground on the other side of the tunnel wall.
The floor here is pretty dry. I guess the water hasn't made it this far, Lexi said.
Nans aimed the beam of her flashlight down one tunnel and then the other. There was nothing to indicate where they were or which way they should go.
So, which way do we go?
Ida asked. Lexi felt a chill run up her spine. She could hear running water near them. How much time did they have before the tunnels filled up?
I'm not sure, Lexi said. But we better pick one and move forward quickly, while we still have the chance.